once again, back once again, back once again, back once again, back once again with a beat. Let the beat kick.
We are made wise not by the recollection of our past, but by the responsibility of our future. So says George Bernard Shaw. That's why we need to understand and apply wisdom in all things, right? Mind, body, and soul. This short podcast hopefully will help you do that. Please rate and review. Subscribe to the podcast. Really appreciate the feedback. And then if you would pass it on to everybody you know, I'd appreciate that too. On this episode, we continue our series in Benjamin Franklin's 13 Virtues. We're at our last virtue. It's humility. And this is what Benjamin Franklin says about it. Imitate Jesus and Socrates, period. Are you struck by Franklin's recommendations as I am? Why both? I mean, if you're going to include Jesus on any list, there really isn't a need to include anybody else, is there? It was just curious to me what Franklin might have been thinking that would lead him to include these two people specifically, and then only these two people. Perhaps it was this prompting from a personal friend of Franklin's. Franklin said this, "My list of virtues continued at first, but 12. But a Quaker friend having kindly informed me that I was generally thought proud, that my pride showed itself frequently in conversation, that I was not content with being in the right when discussing any point, but was overbearing and rather insolent, of which he convinced me by mentioning several instances, I determined endeavoring to cure myself, if I could, of this vice or folly among the rest, and I added humility to my list, giving an extensive meaning to the word." In other words, Franklin was convicted. Humility is a modest or low view of one's own importance. It may well be that you're important or the best, but humility moderates a balanced view of how you should view yourself. God opposes the proud just as all others are repulsed by them. Humility ensures that there's room for others to weigh in. The final arbiters are those who see more of us than we see of ourselves in the mirror. Self-awareness is met by a jury of our peers that helps silence the internal voice of pride. Ralph Waldo Emerson says, "A great man is always willing to be little." And there is no one more littler than Jesus. And it doesn't take much to make that case. With just several verses from the Bible, the magnitude of his humility is put in view. Just flip on over to Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. The one who is the most living as the least, the highest living as the lowest. There simply is no better example of humility. When it comes to earthly examples of humility, one would do well to consider the observations of Socrates. This light overview is only meant to expose the idea of humility in a couple of just key points. We get a good understanding of Socrates through Plato, in particular with the Apology, which Plato wrote based on the trial of Socrates for, quote, not recognizing the gods recognized by the state, inventing new deities, and corrupting the youth of Athens, end quote. From that trial came the famous quote from Socrates, an unexamined life is not worth living, end quote. Considering that, it can be easy to see how the Socratic method would be valuable for examining one's life and driving us toward humility. The examination of one's beliefs or values to see if they are correct is absolutely worth imitating. One other point from Socrates worth noting is the idea that one is wise when they realize they are not wise. He was someone who knew a great deal, but yet it led him to conclude how little he ultimately knew. However, our willingness to acknowledge this possibility puts us on a dangerous precipice, teetering between accepting the fact that we can't and won't know everything and swelling with pride over the perception of how humble we are. No doubt Franklin admired Jesus for the fact that there was no teetering. He was wise and lived out humility perfectly. Socrates most likely shared the challenge Franklin, and for that matter, every one of us faces, in dealing with being great at being least. Benjamin described it this way. He says, "In reality, there is perhaps no one of natural passions so hard to subdue as pride. disguise it, struggle with it, beat it down, stifle it, mortify it, as much as one pleases, and it is still alive, and will every now and then peep out and show itself. You'll see it, perhaps, often in this history. Even if I could conceive that I had completely overcome it, I should probably be proud of my humility. So what are some of the factors in living humbly? Franklin characterizes the struggle for humility accurately as an ongoing wrestling match. We need to get our hands around its neck and squeeze it for all it's worth, being careful not to ever let up. So let's consider how that death grip might be possible. First, stand guard. Awareness is one thing, but being alert, ready to engage, is another. Actively guarding our hearts will allow us to become aware more immediately and render the necessary response. And is somewhat captured in Psalm 119, verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. Secondly, administer frequent examinations. It is true, an unexamined life is not really worth living, which is to say we are to live an examined life. This goes beyond being on alert to conducting frequent and in-depth scans of all areas of our lives, which has been the focus of all these articles in the podcast, to consider how we can apply wisdom in our lives, mind, body, and soul, which pretty much covers it all. So what are you feeding those areas? How are they responding? Are you exercising what is good for those areas at the right frequency and intensity? So factors in living humbly are standing guard, administering frequent examinations, and lastly, first, be grateful. Starting with gratitude can actually help push pride away. Now, I say grateful because I don't mean thankful. You can be thankful too, but I want us to avoid being thankful for something rather than being grateful to someone. Pharisees had the tendency to be thankful. Gratitude is actually a better expression of humility. We are not ultimately responsible for what we have or who we are, because that is owed to the Creator. That you're taller or faster or mightier than others should not be first attributed back to you. Interestingly, where we end the list of virtues is probably the best place to start. Humility is not just a result, it's a pathway to fully realizing the virtuous life. So I'll close this 13-part series with this final quote from Benjamin Franklin. Revolving this project in my mind, he says, as to be undertaking hereafter, when my circumstances should afford me the necessary leisure, I put down from time to time on pieces of paper such thoughts as occurred to me respecting it, that there is one God who made all things, that he governs the world by his providence, that he ought to be worshipped by adoration, prayer, and thanksgiving, but that the most acceptable service of God is doing good to man, that the soul is immortal, and that God will certainly reward virtue and punish vice, either here or hereafter. Though we conclude this special series on Benjamin Franklin's 13 virtues, I'd actually do this a couple times a month. So check back for the next episode or swing on by wisdominallthings.com for more articles. Get signed up for the newsletter. It's at wisdominallthings.com. And then please rate, review, subscribe to the podcast. And thank you for joining me on this journey.